If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Number 1175. We made it.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff. The
Jewish apocalypse.
The Daily Show. Nothing ever happens, gang. Taking victory laps out there.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they deserve, but that's how Nothing Ever Happens, gang.
Well,
operate.
You can always do.
All right, now that I've tossed that conversation starter into the, I'm gonna fall asleep.
Take a little nap. Yeah,
I got some cough drops with me.
See, my
are you sick?
I think so. Yeah, I'm a little bit sick. It's weird. It's like this is what COVID has been brought to. It's like it's now this mildly annoying post nasal drip that makes me tired. A once proud like killer of economies and
it's been humbled to be a mere sniffle.
It is just Rush Limbaugh didn't live to see it happen, but he actually called it shutting down the economy what amounts to a cold.
Yeah, well, it wasn't true at the time though.
Yeah, he said that with no information to back it up. In 5 years it'll be, or in 4 years it'll be a cold.
You're gonna have to kill a lot of people first though.
And frankly, I have to make a shit ton of money off of it first,
right? But,
here we are.
As far as, like, Nothing Ever Happens, gang, and it's always happening,
a lot
gang,
of stuff happened. The gang is, the world is such a different place after this weekend.
Like, my thing is, like,
I know people,
I take a third position, but that's fine.
What's your third position?
My position is, like, things happen.
Oh.
And they might not be as dramatic as you thought they would be,
but they've happened.
Yes, that's my position. I mean, as always, I take a third position, I'm not something always happens or nothing ever happens. Dumb to say nothing ever happens.
I take a position of like, all right, what are people on the right complaining about and how are they wrong? That's what I look for.
Yeah, but I would
how are my friends misinterpreting everything and being annoying?
except for me, right?
How are my own pals making me annoying?
Except for me, right?
Well, you're like the one I look to is like, Mike, what's wrong with these people?
Well, I don't always want to say that there's something wrong with them, but actually, here's my thing.
Well,
I was going to give you
my diagnosis.
Okay.
The people that think that was whole hum nothing. They're hungry. I want to see another war crime. Like they won't be satisfied unless Iran and whoever else just does a giant like. You want to see the slaughter of cities and, like, civilians. And I get it. We're talking about Jews and Israelis, so it's like, I can meet you halfway there. It's on the table, but, like...
No, I would have been fine with it, but it just wasn't a realistic...
But that's, like... People are like, why didn't they just level, like, cities? It's kind of like...
I can explain that to you.
Like, this is sort of the flex that they did.
Yeah.
It was like, we hit a whole bunch of military targets.
Well, I could explain to you why they didn't level
the ball
cities.
Is now
I don't
back
think anyone
in Israel's court. So it's like you've got what Biden's saying. Don't you hit them back?
Right. Well, basically, the thing is, and frankly,
Bowdoin. Oh, that's right. Today's show preemptively is called "Children of Bowdoin."
Children of Bowdoin.
I just wanted to start right off with that. Like, the Children of Bowdoin.
Well, not just like Children of Biden, like
because it's Bowdoin. God damn it.
Children of Brandon.
No, it's Bowdoin. Stop it.
The Lake Brandon murders.
The Bowdoin murders. Instead of a lake, it's the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Yeah, so like somebody came in and like slashed your credibility to pieces with a knife. Just like
somebody slashed your credibility.
Foreboding situation.
Foreboding.
Very good.
Foreboding.
But yeah, I mean, we did like 2 hours of this on Saturday night, where we again people were saying like go live. I was like, dude, I don't know anything. I don't know what's happening. I can only guess.
Okay, so I saw that happening, and my response was, no, I want to be news cucked. I've never wanted to be news cucked so hard in my life.
He sent me this message.
Monday. for us to just sit here like in stunned silence, like, wow.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing, and not to be doing the I predicted this gang, but it's basically going exactly how we predicted. And if you go and listen to Mike and Boers with Lewis as a guest on Tuesday, it actually is panning out pretty well, exactly how we predicted it would go. And even to the point of like they're going to target an air base, and that will probably be what they will hit. And the Jews hit. Yes. And the Jews will probably have to eat that. Now, the only caveat there is no, I agree with that, because
which is good,
because but I don't know that what they're going to do is going to be a big deal. So,
well, that depends on how the media treats it.
Right. But it depends on how Iran takes it. So the thing is that I believe, because there was an article in the Financial Times that came out like a week or two. A few articles were saying this, but the first one was there. Came out like after the thing that was saying, and in fact, it was spread everywhere. This news was spread everywhere, saying like back channel communications between America and Iran, and that they've agreed on this, like US and Iran.
I want to stop right there. The US doesn't agree on this stuff. Wait, are you talking about they're talking to Israel or they're talking to Iran? I'm sorry, I might
talking to Iran.
Yeah, the US doesn't agree with Iran gets to hit Israel.
No, that's not how this works.
No, it's like basically the two nations, like Uncle Sam might communicate what their hard line is before they might theoretically someday without any real political support at home step in and do something serious as an intervention. That's what it is. It's like, what can Iran get away with that humiliates Israel a little bit, tests their air defense, and America doesn't like it. It's not an agreement. What rightoids do. They treat like this is a backroom deal conspiracy. Like they're just going to do this to like for what? Like what's the purpose?
Well, that's nothing ever happens, gang. Well, the purpose is
that's why nothing ever happens, gang.
See,
is like
you're right. They don't agree to it, but they have to accept that it's going to happen, and they don't have a good argument against it. And because Israel crossed so many red lines by bombing the embassy, that means that Iran has support for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like Russia and China are like behind them because they're like, you can't just bomb embassies. Like that's
right.
Russia does not like the idea of Iran escalating with Israel. And I know this because all the Russia shills I watch and listen to, which is just nonstop, constantly just filling my ears with nothing but Russia shill propaganda.
Please.
Just dumping
send many,
it into
many
my brain.
Rubles. We will take up your cause.
All they do is talk about praising Iran for restraint and how great. And I assume that that's a reflection of like the Kremlin's position, which is like the Iranians, like, you know, don't go too far in pressing Israel because like we kind of like this the way it is. Like we're winning in Ukraine. We don't want to have to distract any resources to help you. Just like, you know, it's great that America has two fronts that they have to deal with. We only right now have one front, so we're kind of up on the game, right? That's like the Russian position. Makes sense from their perspective. Like, we're winning. We don't want to have another issue here. But then when the embassy gets bombed, the Iranians can go to, like, the Russians and the Chinese and to, like, all these other nations and be like, listen, bro. Like, you really can't expect us to eat that, right?
Right.
So they have to strike back. And they even said, you'll notice, when they announced their missile attack, they said, we're doing this in accordance with UN resolution, regulation, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And that
is totally legal.
The declaration they made, I was just trying to find it on Twitter, but they basically said, in conjunction with UN charter rule, was it like 51? I can't remember.
Yeah, something that says you're allowed to
they
do
cited self-defense. Something. It's like, you know, this was an illegal attack by Israel, and this is our counterstrike, our retaliation, and we consider the matter closed.
Right.
And that, and with, there was some other language after that where Iran is taking the moral high ground as far as the UN Security Council, and it has the moral high ground because what Israel constantly does is just
more low ground. Yeah.
But, and ironically, in the Heights, right?
Yeah, we got to send James Cameron after them. They're so far in the low ground.
Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, and the language of that is also daring Israel to be like, no.
This isn't over. You don't get to say when we're done here.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get to have just tit for tat and we just lay down and we're even. Yeah. No. That's not how this works.
It's clear that if the Jews do something afterwards, they're the ones that start
the
next
shit. And
the Jews are,
I keep seeing, they're going to do something within the next, probably at this point, probably the next 36
basically,
hours.
Iran basically said, don't start shit, won't be shit at this point. And they won't, and so, it's like, their position is straight. Like, look, we had to do this, and they're doing that for the benefit of Russia and China amongst like the rest of other countries in the world who were all supporting this. Like everybody except America was like cheering this, and then maybe like governments in Europe, but people in Europe were probably like either like I don't care or like this is great. But a number of things happened. So I think a lot of the Nothing Ever Happens gang, their thing was like, well, they didn't really hit anything. Well, it's not entirely true. The Jews are saying nothing was hit. However, we had some pretty well-confirmed video that seemed to show some missile ground impacts. So they hit stuff. They didn't really kill anybody, which also indicates that the Jews had some advance warning of where these missiles were going.
They exercised extreme precision with what they launched, and they displayed that they could overwhelm air defenses and get things through. And they only fired, supposedly, like 300 pieces of whether it's drones or...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm unclear on that. That's what they keep saying. But they also, drones came from everywhere. They didn't just come from Iran. They came from like five different countries.
Well, and so did air defense. Air defense came from five countries.
Yes. That's the other thing. Five air forces went into the air to defend the Jews.
Is talking about they're considering retaliation against Iran's retaliation.
Well, they don't. Remember, Jews are like niggers. It starts when you respond.
Yeah.
Right? Like they will pretend, and America, which is funny. In their diplomatic language, America pretends like that hit on the embassy just never happened.
Right.
Like, I don't think they've ever acknowledged it.
They didn't really acknowledge it, and that's kind of the other thing. Well, you're not going to at least condemn?
Yeah.
No, they're not going to condemn it. They're not going to acknowledge it, because if they do, then that means that Iran has moral high ground. And they won't present. Now, what they are saying is this. So the reason America is not escalating after this missile attack is because they understand that the Israel strike on the embassy was something that had to be retaliated to. So they get that. So the way they're acknowledging that is by saying, like, look, we're not going to join in with any further attack on Iran. They also know it's super politically unpopular here. Dude, if you think this is somehow
can't support this, baby.
If you think this is somehow like Biden pressing against Jews, you're wrong, because this is the opinion of Jews in America. I read a David Frum column in The Atlantic yesterday saying BB should take the W. Like, and this is David
you
Frum.
You mean the L?
Yeah, but they're going to present that.
That's why I thought of me. Oh, Israel's not going to respond. They're claiming that they intercepted everything. And they're pretending that there was no damage. That means they're not doing anything.
And America was setting this. See, the thing is, Jews in America...
They're basically bending the knee to Bowdoin.
Yeah.
Kneel before Bowdoin.
Jews in America were setting the stage for that narrative by flexing nothing really happened. And then they had America put out some fake intelligence saying, like, half these missiles didn't even get off the ground. They say that every fucking time. It's not true.
Well, that is not fucking
true. That's just a lie. They're like, half of them didn't even get off the ground. The Iranians are so incompetent. Like, they don't even know how to launch missiles. The only people that believe that are, like, retarded conservatives. Like, I saw this go out on some fake OSINT account, which is probably just run by, like, the CIA or something, that was, like, that only conservative people follow because it just fans their balls and tells them what they want to hear. And all these conservatives, who are probably also just bots, were responding with, like, pictures of the guy, like, shooting, like, a bottle rocket and hitting himself in the face. And I'm like, see, you're just wrong. Like, that's not what happened. The missiles launched. They went to their targets, and a lot of them were intercepted, but it took the entire Iron Dome, the entirety of David's sling, the entirety of something they call the Arrow 3 defense, which is ballistic missile defense in Israel. Also, it took the Israeli, French, U.S., British, and Jordanian Air Force to have fighters in the air, and U.S. Aegis missile defense systems, which are ship-launched. So it took, like, all of this shit together to intercept all those missiles, probably estimated cost like $1 billion, maybe even more dollars for one night of operations.
Before people get hung up on the dollar amount, what really was proven is like, they can launch enough shit to get shit through. And they launched a very small, quick volley, which there were rumors of a second one coming that never happened.
It didn't pan out.
Which is too bad. But like,
that's what I heard. There was a rumor of something that materialized.
But if they did a...
They launched ballistic missiles.
If they did a sustained... effort like that, I mean, well, I'm not going to say it's going to be over, but it'd be very, very bad.
The drones was the most stuff they launched. I saw America flexing this morning that like U.S. fighter jets shot down 80 drones. That's probably true. But I'm like, good job. So But again, that's a form of economic warfare. How much do these drones cost? 20,000, 30,000.
Well, why are our pilots shooting down anybody's shit?
Yeah, like, it's for, yeah. Like, I mean, why are we bothering?
You know? Yeah. That's the infuriating. People just, oh, of course we did, because we just
do that. I mean, Richie Sunak is out there bragging UK Air Force took part. I didn't know until the next day the French Air Force took part. They could have just been like one fighter did it just for symbolic
effect. Why
do they like
throw baguettes at shit? Like, what is a French Air Force?
Yeah.
They just smoke a lot of cigarettes.
They just have baguettes hanging off fixed wing aircraft.
They just jam your radar with like cigarette smoke and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Fromage. That's a good word. I like that word. Fromage Bowdoin.
Anyway,
the fromage of Bowdoin.
So yeah, I think it's definitely happening. And I was saying also, as I was saying on Twitter, like if nothing happens now, that's huge. That is huge. If Israel actually takes that L.
Well, I don't know if this was a rumor or not, that like they, I don't know if it was indefinitely, but they postponed the Rafah operation, which is like, that's big. Yeah. That's what this was.
It's called deterrence.
It's called deterrence. So, depends on if and when they do a Rafah.
The thing is that, the problem is that politically...
And Jews are all sitting around shitting, like, what do we do with our retarded... inbred populace that wants this done. We can't do Rafah. We're shitting and farting. America doesn't want us to do this because Bowdoin, you know, Bowdoin is really sleepy. He doesn't want to, like, be responsible for this war.
The real issue that they're having is the unpredictable element is, like, the jigtards in Israel.
Right.
Because they are super fucking mad. And they have a lot of say in the government. And this is sort of where the anti-Netanyahu bias of the American press comes from, which is the American Jews. And it's not even just like liberal Jews, because David Frum was like a George W. Bush speechwriter, arch neocon, big Iraq war guy, big fucking war hawk, very much a fucking Israel-only shill, right? He's saying that Bibi should take this W, because what he's worried about is that...
I love that.
He's legitimately worried about, you know, the same thing that Jews in America are worried about. So what America is saying, what Biden is saying, it's understood, and Bibi understands it when he talks to Biden, if that's who he's even talking to. I would assume he's probably just talking to Anthony Blinken. He's understanding. He's hearing the will of the U.S. Jewish community.
Right.
That's what he's hearing when he's getting directions. And if it wasn't that, he wouldn't even listen. Right, and even there, he doesn't totally listen, but if it was goys, nah. There's no way he would ever listen to a fucking goy say shit about shit. But these Jews, like the Ben-Gavir niggas and shit, like these religious, they are like angry, and they're saying like, you know, we have to do this, so that there's a tremendous amount of pressure for them to do it. But it's not even just them, it's the whole public in Israel. Because the public in Israel, and if you think about it, there's other issues. So it's not just the religious jigtards. The public in Israel, in order to live in Israel, needs to think that Israel is the strongest nation that always has the backing of America and will win every fight and can't be touched. So if they have this missile strike from a state, right? This isn't some terror group. This isn't Hezbollah. This isn't Hamas. This is an actual state. Shooting missiles directly at them. It took five air forces and all kinds of shit to take them out. And then they don't respond because they can't, because they're actually being deterred by this huge country, you know, a couple of countries away. That's scary to them, and they're going to leave. And I saw a bunch of Jews. Again, I don't ever know how real this is, like how packed Tel Aviv airport is generally. But I saw a bunch of them, like, trying to get the fuck out. So... there's this other pressure. It's not just the jigtard. It's all just the general Jewish population in Israel needs to know that Israel has overwhelming superiority against everybody, or they don't want to live there because it's not fucking safe. And so the Iranians just made it less safe. And I said when they started doing it, the end result of this should be like a psychological blow to Israel and a real blow to their security, not necessarily blowing stuff up like they did. Hit some runways and blew up some runways in an airbase. Okay, that's pretty easy to repair. Probably already been repaired. But the psychological aspect of it, and the psychological aspect of them not responding, even though geopolitically, strategically, right now, given where Israel is, it's smarter for them to take the L and not move forward. They probably won't, because they're a bunch of fucking histrionic, neurotic, crazy people that legitimately cannot, they feel like they need to have the last word. So it really depends what they do. They've supposedly resolved they're going to do something. I don't know what it's going to be. They said they're going to hit back.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of The Daily Shoa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Iranian territory. That's dumb. If they were going to hit back, they should have done something in Lebanon, maybe something in Syria.
I saw that they did something in Lebanon.
Something in Lebanon every day.
They're always doing things in Lebanon. That's
bombing Lebanon.
That is part of the infuriating thing about this whole thing. You're like, every day they're hitting Syria and they're sitting.
Well, the thing that's infuriating to me about the whole thing is there are certain places that it's sort of in this sort of tacit agreement that like Jews are just allowed to blow up, like Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, and like the West Bank and stuff.
You know what? I think it'd be really fun. What if they engage in this next operation in Rafah, and then a bunch of ICBMs hit their tank column?
Sure, I mean, that would be great.
That'd be neat.
That would be really cool.
Or just hit Tel Aviv.
And then they're like, well, we're just defending the Palestinians.
They wouldn't even need ICs, just regular BMs.
Yeah.
Just launch the BMs. Their
little bowel movements.
Yeah.
Just shit all over those tanks.
That's my little joke.
But when I saw those...
Well, you know, the reason that there's these like de facto places, like, it's not like anybody agrees you're allowed to just blow those things up. No, it's that our media doesn't fucking tell you.
Yeah.
Like, the first... I remember when... there have been times in the past, and recently with October 7th, when I started following, like Palestinian, like, news accounts. Like, they were just, like, showing these, like, nonstop...
No, every
examples
day.
Of every Another day of just people getting killed. It's like, wow, this just happens all the fucking time, and you have no idea, and they'll never tell you.
Yeah. No, like, they actually were saying that, like, oh, there was a period of relative peace and calm. The Palestinians were like...
What does that mean?
In the West Bank, there was at least 2 murders a day by Jews for the last year.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about, peace and calm? Yep. It's the same thing. Frankly, it's actually pretty analogous to, like, although different because there's political elements... But the way that white people never hear about white people getting murdered by niggers.
Yeah.
Or it just never being a thing, right? Like, that's it's sort of like, oh, Jews are just murdering Palestinians. And it's just what it is. Like, we have a period, you know, things are stable and calm. Oh, yeah, every day, like, every day or two, the IDF or Jewish settlers just kill another Palestinian in the West. What's funny is that those indignities were happening in the West Bank, not in Gaza. That's because Hamas basically cleared Gaza of Jews. And they were cleansed. They're cleansed from Gaza. But anyway, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. I think, though, that, I think the internal Israeli dynamics overcame whatever, you know, quote-unquote agreement or back-channel deal or whatever the fuck it was. And I already saw Jews starting to get mad. As the narrative, because there was a few different ones. The one was, like, take the W, Israel humiliated Iran, the Iran can't shoot and hit anything. That doesn't really be... That's not really convincing. But then... Then the other one came with, like, oh, this is all, like, Iran is cucked because this is all sort of agreed on and this stuff. And the Jews were, like, starting to get mad at this stuff. I saw some of these Jews on Twitter going, like, what other country would just have missiles shot at it is because it's performative and, you know, it's agreed on that we have to just accept it. And I was like, yeah, that's right. No, yeah, it's only Israel. You're right.
You have
like,
to take it.
No, like, this is my thing. Like, I saw people in the replies to this trying to, like, explain to these kikes, like, why. And I was like, no. They know. Just tell them, yeah, that's right. You have to eat this juice. Just suck it. Like, yes. And it's because you're Jewish.
I would
just
because
you're Jewish and you're
like,
Israel and everyone hates you. Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right, you fucking kikes.
You're right. It shouldn't be performative. It should be very fucking real. The country should just be devastated. I agree.
Yeah.
Next time, we'll have to be a little more thorough.
But the other thing is that the problem that they're having is the Iranians are doing this in such a way that if the Jews now respond, Like the Iranians are doing this in such a way that they maintain global public opinion and alliances. Because now, you better believe that they talked to the Russians at the very least about doing this. Yeah. And agreed with them how they were going to do it. And that's why they made that appeal to UN rules. Because the Russians are spurgs about that. Like, everything they tell you about these regimes is a lie. Like, everything the American media tells you about, like, Russia and Iran is a lie. These are actually very careful, rule-abiding governments. Okay? And they do that because they are up against kind of a crazy lunatic golem of Zog run by these Jews. And they, therefore, they're like, we want these rules to actually operate because that would somewhat restrain America and Zog. But the rules don't restrain America and Zog, but they operate based on them because that keeps them collectively like on the same page and agreeing like we're all doing the right thing. So, yeah, the Iranians made this appeal. And under international law, what they did is legal. It's not illegal to do that. And so everyone approves. They've got the diplomatic support of all these countries. And if Israel hits them back, they'll have diplomatic support to hit again. And they've said, look, if you hit us again, the next one's going to be 10 times as bad. So we'll see what happens. It depends on if the Jews do something cucked, which is a possibility that the Jews, their response will be very cucked. And then there won't be anything further, or they might be mad and actually do some damage inside of Iran, in which case the Iranians will hit back. So there was another tendency I was seeing, which was like the guy who thinks Israel is like all powerful guy coming out and being like, "Oh man, dude, Israel's gonna fucking crush them. They're gonna just go." I'm like, they don't have the ability to do that. Unless they just nuke them, they don't have the ability to do that.
No,
not with their conventional forces. Like Israel cannot take, what, they just got 2,000 bombs from us? What, are they going to use them on Iran? No, those are for Rafah. Like, what are they going to do? Also, hitting Iran is not so easy for them. What, they have to, I guess they could shoot there.
Are they going to use our Air Force for that? Oh, they're going to give the planes we gave them, right? They're going
to
use
that. Right, but still, like, they don't have clearance to fly over any of these countries.
Like, that's true. Like, and Iran called out Jordan, which is hilarious.
Jordan's are a bunch of fags. That's the only country that gave Israel.
And he cried about it too. The king was like, "Don't criticize our foreign policies."
No,
like,
it's
fuck
you, you faggot.
Stop being a traitor.
Now, my bitch. Only question was whether the Jordanian Air Force actually launched or whether they just let Israel operate in their airspace, because they'd usually just let Israel. I would bet you they just let Israel operate in their airspace and said like,
probably.
"Yeah, nah, like that was our Air Force." Like, probably not. Your pilots are probably just sitting there eating kebabs and like letting the Jews just like do whatever they want over
close
your country.
Close your airspace. Don't let them use it.
Yeah.
Israel deserves
Israel is not going to respect that, though. Israel will just violate airspace. They don't care because they're just the rogue regime, right?
Right.
The issue is America. Like, America, if those Arab countries and governments say no, like, America will find ways to work around that. It's very interesting how this works. It's actually an interesting dynamic, and I feel like people that want to reduce it to, like, simplistic things like Israel controls America or America controls Israel or Israel's a colony of America. I mean, sometimes Israel is a colony of America. People do like Israel's out there to so America can violate all the rules that it like officially has to obey. I'm like, no, that's not really what it is. Is that America's military is primarily made up of Gentiles who would balk at the idea of being ordered to fly and violate another country's airspace when like, I mean, I don't know how long that's going to be true when we get like trannies and stuff in the military, but generally speaking, like American generals and stuff, if you told them, you know, the Iraqis have said we can't use their airspace, but we're just going to do it anyway, they would be like, wait a second. We don't, like, we were trained not to do that. Like, at the military academy, we're trained to obey these rules, and you're telling me to violate them? I don't want to do that. They actually had the same problems when they were told to do the bombing campaign over Britain, over Germany. I mean, the stuff that the American, they were doing it, but the stuff that they were saying, like, personally and privately, is like, what are we doing? Like, this is not, we were not trained to do this. We're not supposed to do this. Like, just, we're basically being told to just bomb cities in broad daylight so that as many people are actually present as possible. Like, bomb the factories while the workers are there. Because typically what you do is you bomb the military factory at night so you don't kill a bunch of people.
Right.
But no, they bomb it in the day. Like, that's what they were told, like, in the 40s. So, anyway, it's Jews that are telling you to do that stuff. And so it's all sort of interesting. You could speculate, why does one do this, one do that? Not that America doesn't break rules, because they do, but we don't break nearly as many rules as Israel. And the one rule we will follow is when these countries say you can't use our airspace, we won't. And the reason is because we want to build more bases there and have more deals with them and all this kind of shit. And so, like, if Qatar... That was funny. When Qatar says, like, yeah, you can't use our airspace or the bases in Qatar to launch any attacks here. It's like, well, that just grounds the entire fleet at the fucking... at Doha, right? Or wherever the fuck it is. So... I don't know. That means you're going to have to operate only from carriers at that point. I don't know. It's all very confusing.
Well, we'll
very
see how
complex.
It goes. I wonder who's going to win out on this. Like, is Israel going to do some kind of retaliation against retaliation? That's what I'm kind of curious about.
I think that they will. The only question is how extensive will it be and will Iran be forced to respond yet again? Iran does not. I'll tell you this also, just so everyone understands. Iran would prefer none of this was happening. Like they don't want any of this, right? Because they're not lunatics. Because unlike the Jews, they're not a bunch of fucking lunatics. But yeah. You know, they're kind of like, don't put us. We do not want to do this. They're literally like the guy who in a fight like does one punch, the other guy's down. He's like, don't get up, leave it. And then the guy gets up. He's like, I have to punch you. Like, don't. I don't want to hit you again. Don't get up. Like it's that guy, right? You know. So. The Jews are like scrambling around the floor with a bloody nose, like angry in their pride. So they want to get up and lunge at the guy. And he's just like, "Look, I'd have to do it again. I don't want to have to do it. Just stay down."
Can I critique another thing that I see in popular parlance?
Yeah.
Talking about World War III. I don't know if I've totally wrapped my mind around this, but in the world, like, we were talking about this phenomenon, was it on Prep or before? I can't remember. Of, they're like, oh, these Jews are just financing both sides of the war. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah. No, they say America is doing it.
It's like this thing right here, this is like World War Z, not the zombies, it's Zionism, if it's anything, because there's no world.
That's just World War Z.
It's like there's America... That's disgusting. Don't ever speak like that again.
I'm sorry.
that's like cuck Anglophone shit. Like, we say
I really
Z.
Can't say what they say Zed. Zed. Is. I'm like, that's not... Yeah. Zed would mean that the actual sound of the
I'm a little
letter
more,
isn't in the... Well, I guess Z.
Yeah, why is there a consonant, an extra consonant in your...
No, it's just Z, my nigga. It's Z.
I'll forgive, like, the Australians and the not-Australians because they're so, like, weird. But, like, when the Canadians do it, it's like, you motherfucker. Oh, speaking of which, like, I saw a good tweet. It was like, if God had intended us to use the metric system, Jesus would have only had 10 apostles.
Okay. Kind of funny.
Very funny. That fucking just strikes to the heart of your whole bullshit operation there. Yeah. Metrics and Zeds.
Metric system is, like, that's just superstition as far as I'm concerned. But, why is everything in tens?
Where was I going? World War III. I mean, if you want to call it that, this is totally different because World War One and Two was like Zionism that was controlling all sides and like engineering this worldwide conflict to their own advantage, and they won. They had their little state, sort of planted in the middle of land that didn't belong to them in 1948 after World War Two. This is not.
They had a good winning streak for a few decades there.
Yeah, like,
they have not had a winning streak since like the 70s, though. They've actually been on the like losing side of things, but yeah.
But like, they're like doing a bit now where they're trying to take all of that land, and then they'll probably expand from there into other countries if they can get away
eventually.
With it.
That's
what this is about.
Yeah.
Like, this is about we're in the realm of Israeli expansion, and they really only have one ally. That's big stupid America.
Yeah,
filled with Jews and. Big stupid conservatives that go along with it. And it's really and it's support for it's in total crisis.
Yeah,
you know, like if America, if by some fucking like miracle popular will prevents the American apparatus from going to war to support Israel, like there's not no one's gonna swoop in to take our place and take up Israel. Just falls. It's just over.
That's kind of the thing.
This
is
like it's not World War III. It's basically America against the world. Or in the name of Zion.
Well, the thing is, I think there's only limited stuff that America can do. Like, as long as we're like putting in carriers and like doing missile strikes and shit, like we can do that indefinitely. They don't need popular support for that. People forget about
That's
it.
That's why I said by some miracle.
But
like,
on the ground, like on the ground war, like the support for Israel has to be like we're going to intimidate your enemies with carriers and threaten strikes. We'll do some strikes. We'll blow some shit up. But we can't have some like high intensity conflict that requires sacrifice on the part of this population. That's something that will break it because like the level of economic chaos that would be wrought. Like, can you imagine if a war started with Iran, what would happen to people's stock portfolios? Like, they would crash, right? And then oil prices would go crazy. And then people would actually have to do some economic sacrifice, not to mention actually people going and fighting and dying in Iran, because again, it's a massive country with an actually highly competent military. We could destroy it. We could spend America to destroy this one country. It would be a completely evil thing to do, but we could do it. But the cost to us would be huge, and we wouldn't be able to, in the end, control it. Like, you wouldn't be able to. We couldn't occupy and control Iran and put like a Shah back in power. Like, that will not happen. These people will fight to the death, and they will kill a lot of us, and they will destroy a lot of our shit. That's not a joke. It's an actual deterrent, and Israel has a regional rival for power. Basically, that's what was sort of signaled, that's what sort of was formalized on Saturday night, is that the Iranians are a regional power, and you can't really fuck with them. And if they do get a nuke, then it's just game over. Like, they're not going anywhere. And I think they already have the ability to have a nuke. They've just, for whatever reason, decided not to do it. I think they should just go ahead and do it. Like, they have enough material, supposedly, to do it, and the engineering isn't, like, they... Once you've got the fissile material or fusile material or whatever you want to call it, you could just actually build the bomb mechanism. Like, they have the technology to do that. They can do that, right?
Yeah.
It's actually more difficult. Like, some of the missiles that they purportedly have are actually much more difficult than just an A-bomb to engineer. Like, these hypersonic glide missiles or something they're calling that. Like, they're talking about, like, the Russians have them, and they're like... Almost like you just can't ever defend against them. Like, they don't, you'll never know that they're coming at you. and supposedly the Iranians have some of those, although I don't know about that. But again, you know, it's not like this stuff is, and a lot of times just people that are only like online observers, they just assume like America can do anything. They assume America can do anything. It was super powerful, and they assume Israel will always do stuff. And the other thing is, people have seen Israel be crazy and aggressive and just like lash out for so many years, that not happening is unexpected, right? It's unexpected for the Jews not to lash out and do some atrocity. But we'll see. The Jews are like unexpected that they're not lashing out and doing atrocities. Like, look, we need to do an atrocity here. Like, we got embarrassed, and now time for people to die. So
it was kind of interesting watching that stuff over the weekend, because the normies were like, man, I really don't want to have World War III over this.
No, nobody wants it. Yeah. Like, a lot, very few people in America, there was like a spectrum of opinion, and the bell curve was like people like us on the right side of it, like, yeah, fucking go Iran. And then the other side, which I would say, you know, like the low IQ side of it, which I would say is also like was probably smaller. It wasn't total bell curve, because that side was smaller. It was people like cheering for Israel. The massive hump in the middle was people being like, bro, really, dude? I don't want to do this shit.
But yeah, it's like fatigue. It's like, I'm tired of hearing about these casualties in Palestine. I'm just tired of seeing what Israel's been doing. And I don't want to be dragged into a war on their behalf, because that would be fucked up.
There's an interesting thing that happens with some of the rhetoric. And it makes me annoyed, but I generally leave it alone, because overall, it's not good for Jews when people say this. Is you get people that say something like, I just want them to all kill each other. I don't care. I want all of them dead, right? And I'm like, that's kind of dumb. I don't want the Palestinians or the Iranians to die or whatever. But given that this guy is sort of – the reason he's saying that is because he's also sick of pro-Palestine demonstrators. And, you know, I mean, he's just sick of the whole thing, right? So he's lashing out and saying, I just want all of them to die. Because you don't really see it – like, say we're talking about Burma. Like, you're not going to see somebody who doesn't give a shit. If you're like, I don't care about the conflict in Burma, like, I hope they all kill each other. Like, you don't really see that, right? Usually it's like something like, I don't give a fuck about that, whatever, right? But this malice, like wishing death on all of them, is kind of a unique thing. I see a lot of UK people saying this too, and American like conservatives. But again, my thought is always like, if American conservatives and UK conservatives were at the point where they're just saying, fuck it, I don't give a fuck, let them all kill each other, I hope they all die, then I'm like, all right, well, that's not good for the Jews, because, you know, they're supposed to be saying, yeah, Jews, go and kill those sand niggers, right? But they don't say that anymore. They're just like, I don't care. And I think for some people, like, breaking with the Jews on this in order to psychologically make it okay with themselves or to make them still seem like base to whatever people they're talking to, they do like the total, like, I hope they all kill each other type nihilism, right? But it annoys me because I want to get in and like explain to them why, like, you don't really have any reason to want Palestinians or Iranians dead. The two countries that are the largest force against mass immigration of Muslims to the West, like the two largest like countervailing forces to the mass immigration of Muslims to the West, those two countries, you particularly don't want them all to die. And you definitely don't want wars there because the Jews are just trying to trigger refugee flows. That's another thing. A war between America and Iran. How many fucking Browns are going to flood into fucking Europe and America? We'll start taking them too. You know that we will.
Yep.
So, like, and we will start taking, and then we'll, under the pretense that they're like fleeing from the tyrannical whatever. Yeah. It's also funny, and I made this point Saturday. I don't know if Alex heard this, but think about this. Part of the assault on Israel was drones launched by Iranian militias in Iraq. So think about what a total fucking fail the Iraq war was. If you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
So 20 years later, Iraq is a staging ground to literally assist in an Iranian air attack on the Jewish state itself. That's pretty wild. What were you saying?
Yeah, early this year, there were those three soldiers that were killed in Jordan.
No, but
and
but on Saturday, the Iraqis launched drones at Israel. Like, everybody did. All the Iranian allies did. So, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing was, like, these when you had those soldiers killed, it was like, so what were they doing again? They got killed by the people who were actually fighting ISIS? That's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you
like,
what
like, this dirty
doing.
Secret about how, like, America supports ISIS.
Yes.
And just kind of pretends that they don't.
America
but
supports
anybody
ISIS.
Who looks at geopolitics knows this.
Well, America pretends that Syrian Democratic Forces is a thing when it's not. And in fact, the group right now that is the ruling party in Idlib province, which is the last province where like the Salafist Islamist people have power, like the Kurds have power in their area, and then those Salafists have power, and there's a few places where America has bases that Syria can't gain control over. But in Idlib, the group is called Harir Tel Sham or something like that. It's like they call it HTS.
Yep.
It's just another name for ISIS. It's the same thing. But Al-Tanf base, which is, you know, when they hit that base in Jordan, that was attached to something called Al-Tanf base, which is on the border of Syria and Jordan. That base is there because whatever the Jordanians tell you, they let Israel use their airspace. And that base gives them a much larger cushion of air, of open airspace when Israel wants to fly fighter missions into Syria. That's why that base is there. I mean, among other reasons, right? It's also there just to maintain an American presence. It's there to keep ISIS in power in Idlib. But it's right in the middle of the desert. Like, there's really not much there. But it means that the Syrians can't set up any air defenses there. They can't set up any border defenses there. And the Jews get to fly through Jordan, and they go up, and they've got like about 55 or so. They got like a cushion about 55 or so more kilometers with no Syrian air defenses if they want to go and do some missions into Syria to hit shit. So that's why they maintain it. Of course, they get signal intelligence or whatever the fuck else it is. I don't know how they call what they say, signal or radio. I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff. But they're getting intelligence.
So it's always interesting to see, like, who is the ISIS is striking.
Well, what's funny is, if you really wanted to get rid of ISIS, and here's another thing. This did happen.
Defund the CIA?
Yes, but this did happen was when America was putting on a pretense of killing ISIS, and they did do some strikes again. I'm not going to say America never fought ISIS. We did. We worked with Iranians to do that. In Syria, there was some like grudging cooperation with Russia, Iran, and America to take out some of this ISIS shit. And I don't know if that was for show or what the politics of that were, but in any case, it did happen. And Soleimani was one of the people that was involved in that, and then they just killed this guy. So it's obvious that, you know, it might be maybe optics. I don't fucking know. But no longer are we doing it. I mean, ISIS is gone, except for the one place, this one pocket where we're protecting them. And that's also why the whole thing in Russia, which I don't know how much we even discussed it, how this so-called ISIS cell suddenly like attacks Russia. And everyone's like, ISIS hasn't done a terrorist atrocity in like a decade. And now here we are, they're just doing doing one in Russia. And there was more on that.
That's what I'm saying. It's fascinating like who their targets tend to be.
They're always targets that are I made this point. If there's always their targets are always geopolitical enemies of America. Because the same group that did that supposedly did that, like ISIS K, as they say, right? They also are the ones that bombed General Soleimani's tomb in January and killed like 100 people in Iran. So you do a terrorist atrocity in Iran, terrorist atrocity in Russia. Huh. Interesting. Hey, next one's going to be in China, right? Uyghur radicals.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, no, it's quite remarkable.
Geopolitical adversaries are always targets of ISIS.
Yes, and Israel
never... clearly not helping or funding, assisting in any kind of way.
Well, Borzoi always makes a point, like, because I forgot this about my debate with Destiny, which is that I said to Destiny that, like, ISIS never attacks Israel. I don't even remember this conversation, but Borzoi very clearly remembered it. And he said Destiny was kind of thunderstruck, and he immediately started, like, frantically... Mm-hmm. slamming Adderall and typing on his computer to try and figure something out. And he found some alleged incident where ISIS did attack Israel. And I don't even remember. He said my response, something like, yeah, you got one. Okay, good for you. But, like, even that wasn't real. Because Borzoi's, like, really interested. He's like, that was wrong. I'm like, yes. And I, like you, will spurg out that Destiny needs to know that it was wrong. But, like, whatever. Supposedly Destiny's got some, like, gay Israeli boyfriend or something. I don't know. I mean, yeah. But whatever.
Last I saw of him, he was having trouble finding Gaza on a map.
I got to say something, though, with that. Like, he was saying, oh, look, southern Gaza's not getting bombed at all. I'm like, that's Israel. But, like, you can never tell with that guy. Because he likes to do the thing of, like, I was only pretending to be retarded and you fell for it, LOL. Like, he does that. To, like, the delight, to the utter delight of his Reddit mods. Right, well, it could just be that he's retarded. Because... You remember, like, when Dawson debated him? And Dawson just, like, took him to fucking school. Like, he didn't know anything about foreign policy or the Middle East. He was totally in the fucking dark about it. And Dawson just, like, totally, like, he didn't know anything.
I think that was his worst showing, was Destiny's debate with Dawson, because Dawson made him look like a child.
Well, that's because Dawson has, like, he's like a autistic fact retainer, right? You know what I mean? Like, he was able to just, like, spit all this actual... He didn't need to look any of it up. That's the thing.
Like, also, the way that he explained it, because he kind of explained it sort of patiently, like he was talking to a five-year-old.
He was talking to a retard, yeah. He's talking to a nigger. He was like a liberal talking to a nigger. He like code switched to, like, as if he was talking to a toddler.
It was incredible to watch. Yeah. It was like, you got fucking schooled, man. Like, Dawson is like giving you a geopolitical education here. It was a fucking amazing
debate.
And
what's funny is once you adopt that dynamic in the conversation, it's really difficult to change it, right? Once that sort of parameter of the conversation has been set, it's difficult for Destiny to come out and, like, reestablish dominance, because that's what Destiny usually wants to do to other people. Is talk to them like they're the stupid child. They're the uppity ones. Oh, God, you people with this stuff again. Like, that kind of shit, right? And it's just but Dawson was like, no, like, you legit don't know anything that you're talking about. Anyway, I don't know. We will still see what happens with this. I don't know. I mean, I can't say, do I hope that the Jews do something so that it all kicks off? Or no, I hope that the Jews take the L and that we get a new balance of power established, because that's what will happen. New balance of power has been established. And that's what I'm sort of saying. Like, nothing ever happens, gang. Like, just because shit isn't blowing up, like, I don't think you understand.
Sounds like really good shoes.
I don't think you... Yeah, the new balance.
The new balance of power.
Yeah, new... Yeah, it's like, well are they good shoes?
I'm not wearing my new balances today. I mean, darn.
I think they are good shoes, but that doesn't mean that they don't make you look retarded, because wearing running shoes just kind of look like a retard. Not that you shouldn't wear them if they're useful, but...
What is it with running shoes and always looking stupid? I have some Brooks, and they're not good-looking shoes. I mean, they work great. Fantastic.
I don't really
wear
sneakers, so that's just me. I have my own preference on that. It's just a preference.
Maybe
I don't like wearing shoes that aren't brown. I think when you wear shoes that aren't black or brown, you look kind of dumb. That's me. Like white shoes, not for me. Whatever.
I like people to can wear do black it. Shoes mostly. Yeah.
Even when you're wearing like, if you're wearing sneakers, black shoes, though. Even if they're sneakers though, if they're black, they're like unobtrusive. You're not like, hey, look at my gleaming white, like gaudy as fuck clown shoes. Black sneakers. You know what I mean? Not in someone's face. You know what I mean? No, I'm serious. Like wearing like big bright colored shoes, that's nigger shit, man.
It is.
Yeah, dressing like a clown is nigger shit. Oh, man.
Dressing like you're a package of Skittles. Dressing like you're a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Yeah. Dressing like you're like a hot Cheeto.
Man, they do like this unironic, like, just glorification of just the most basic bitch capitalist consumerism.
Well, dude, niggers are the ultimate libertarian. They love product. You know why they love product is because they don't have any understanding of like how product arrives. Like product to them, like they are basically like we said, they're hunter gatherers, right? So in the forest, they reach for like the brightly colored fruit, like in the jungles of Africa.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, there's like the brightly colored fruit that's got nourishment. Like in America, they reach for like the brightly colored packaging of like goyslop, and they're like, this is nourishment, right? So they love stuff that's bright colored, like and very sugary and sweet. It's just how they. It's just who they are. I mean, I don't even begrudge them. Like this is their nature. That's how it is. So, yeah. Do we have any actual word on what happened with this archbishop getting or this priest getting stabbed or whatever? Or was it just
he's a bishop? Wait, what? I don't know. It's in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
Of course, I reloaded the feed and there's no mention of it.
I mean,
now.
I did see an article scrolling. About it, but they don't have any information. So. In Australia, and a
there you
bishop
go.
Of the Assyrian...
Breaking, Klaus Schwab is in the hospital, retweeted by Millennial Woes. Vaccinated?
I mean, but...
How fucking old is that guy?
I don't know, but my point is, like, the narrative...
That's right. There was a really dumb Owen Benjamin tweet. Oh, God. Where was it? Oh, I don't remember what it was, but it made me so, like...
He's 86!
Like... Yeah, he's probably just going to die.
He's 86!
He's probably just going to die because he's old.
Oh, he's in the hospital. He must have got the
vax. Well, first of all, he did get the vax, okay? Like, let's be clear.
I'm sure
Klaus Schwab absolutely got the vax. My thing is, like, the narrative of vaxtards should be that he didn't get it.
Right.
Because remember, it was like poison that he
No, he gets one of the secret batch ones that's just saline
but
or...
Vaccines don't really, but then why even bother?
Because you have to say something stupid. You can't just stand aside and not
true.
Be a retard.
Right, right. Yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah. But saline solution isn't going to do anything.
Right.
So maybe he's just old.
Wait, it's not? I've been shooting myself up with saline solution for years, every morning.
Because you don't want to have a hangover, right? It's a little different.
Well, you get like gains from it. Pump my muscles up. A big saline.
I remember now.
Muscles.
It was Owen Benjamin tweeted that... Owen Benjamin tweeted that like more people were killed over the weekend in Chicago by niggers than Israelis were killed by Iranians.
Yeah.
Well, this is like a dunk because this is when people are like,
it's like nothing happens, gang dunk.
I don't know. I'm not really sure because like you're not really that anti-Semitic. Like you're anti-Semitic, but you're retarded still. It's like that's kind of where the right is. That's not us.
Well, he's like one of these guys who's like, let's do anti-Semitism in a way with no consequences, where it doesn't mean anything.
He's got a good idea there. He's got a good idea. Like, maybe we should just have, like, ballistic missiles, but load them with niggers.
But it's like, why use, of all the things you can use nigger crime for, why are you using it to throw shade on the only regime that's taking any real action against the Zionist entity? You claim to be an anti-Semite, you call the Holocaust a rollerblading accident, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what he was maybe just doing a funny. Like he might have just
But like it's yeah. like it's just inappropriate. It's just like I'm throwing my yellow flags. Like of all the things, like are you trying to say like because it comes off like you're kind of trying to call the strike weak. It basically just makes you look what you are, which is like a 6'7" like retard. It's like
and your
followers are people that are retarded enough to like give you money for a campground and then oops, it doesn't work out.
And they show up and you sue them. I would actually guess, if I had to guess what he was doing, that he was doing like LOL, nothing ever happens again.
Nothing ever happened.
Flexing on the World War
More III. Black people were killed in Chicago than were killed in Israel over the weekend. I'm a Benjamin. I had this annoying cadence to my voice.
Do you remember that nigger that did that YouTube video talking about like the Jews and the slave masters and such? Like, it was fun. It was a good video. He was kind of a COVID-tard nigger, but I forgive it because blacks are just stupid anyway. But he was doing like he was doing some anti-Semitic videos and stuff. He got into some feud with Owen Benjamin. It was very funny, and he was like owning him constantly.
Because
there's like some old video of Owen Benjamin. This is gross. I'm sorry to say. Some old video of Owen Benjamin saying he was sort of into, let's say, like similar things that Jimmy Norton's into. And not trannies.
Like glass tables? Like
No, he was saying
like politicians in Spain.
He was like pegging type stuff, right? So like Barricade Garage is this nigger's name. He kept just like owning Owen Benjamin on this. And I was just like I admit I thought it was fucking funny. Because I always thought Owen Benjamin fucking sucked. And Barricade Garage he was actually pretty woke because he was like, and he's just Jewish. Like he was just telling, he's like, he's Jewish. Like he's a Jew. He a Jew. So I'll give a nigger that's actually consistently anti-Semitic, I'll give you a lot of credit. Plus, niggers are funny. When they're funny. Not all are, but the ones that are. And that one is. That guy is funny. I don't really watch his videos anymore because most of them suck, but I was laughing when he was doing this. And Owen Benjamin was super defensive about it. It was very funny. He was coming out with like cope things saying, oh, I was doing it for like shock value and humor, talking about that stuff.
What,
and
you were shoving things in your butt for like shock value?
Yeah.
Like, well, shocking yourself?
He was doing, no, he was, because he was I doing know, it I as part it. Of a comedy bit. Oh. I'm sure he was also just doing it, right? Anyway, whatever.
So who is Bishop Mari Emanuel, priest at Wakeley's Christ the Good Shepherd Church, attacked in Second Sydney stabbing, is a known anti-vaxxer with huge online following, and of course, so people are taking offense to that. He's actually an anti-Zionist, Orthodox
preacher. Yeah, that does seem like, why this characterization?
What?
In the announcement that he was stabbed, why this anti-vax?
Well, my thing is like, why are the rightoids mad?
Well,
isn't that like?
It's also the Daily Mail, so it might be like supportive of him being an anti-vaxxer.
Like, but it, like, isn't that your main issue? I mean, I know there's Jesus and stuff, but there's also being anti-vax.
That's a bigger issue for them, I think. I don't know. I mean, who knows? This is like with the Assyrian Orthodox Church. So, and the guy that stabbed him was brown looking too. So, who knows? But what it was. I do want to comment on this Benjamin Cohen thing, though.
What's her face? Had the Syrian girl had some write up on it.
Yeah.
She claims to have translated She says that they speak her dialectic, these people, or dialect.
Is that just not the church she goes to? Does she live in Israel?
Yeah, she's been pretty busy.
Yeah, well, says stuff that's not entirely true sometimes.
she did point out that one funny tweet from, like, Mossad, where they were pointing out this, look, this ballistic missile we shot down. And everybody's like, that's not a ballistic missile. That's a booster stage.
Yeah, yeah, no, they were. They,
booster
she,
stage.
She'll do that. But she's, like, again, she was also
it
doing.
Fell off the missile.
Yeah, she was doing the bit of, like, Benjamin Cohen was the name of this stabber in Australia, which is just not true, and that shit went fucking. Now, my thing with that was, like, I was skeptical of it, because I was like, really? I don't know that Jews do, like, oh, really? Jews do terrorism on a different scale than this. And as it turned out, the guy's name wasn't Benjamin Cohen. He was actually white.
It wasn't an Arab?
It was a white schizo.
Oh, there you go.
And so when everybody was mad at the cops because they were like, why are you caught? Because they were saying, no, this isn't a hate crime. Like, this is just a crazy person. And then everyone assumed that it was, first of all, the thing
that's
went out
real
that
white
it was,
privilege right there. This
first
is not
of
a
all,
hate crime.
It went out that he was a Jew.
Right.
Right. And his name was Ben Cohen. And they like were saying they found some Jew named Ben Cohen in Sydney that they were saying it was. And then, of course, you know, as funny as I put out a tweet saying, like, I doubt this guy's name was Benjamin Cohen. There's no verification of this or whatever. I immediately got in the responses to that tweet, a bunch, like a bot. It was obviously like set up by Jews as some kind of like defense. They're saying that's not Benjamin Cohen, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, like, and then so I just typed as a test. I just did another tweet just saying Benjamin Cohen. And I got the same result. I got the same bot in the,
You got like the instant reply.
Yeah, and I deleted it because I just wanted to verify for myself that that's what was going on. And yeah,
I tweeted this, and 12 milliseconds later, there's a response. Yeah, that's a fucking bot.
No, it was absolutely a bot. And what the bot was to basically say, it's not Benjamin Cohen. This is a lie. This is fake news. But it was actually fake news, though.
There's AI with some of these bots where it's like they're kind of parsing the conversation a little bit, and they'll spam a reply. And it looks almost like it might be a genuine response. And then you're like, no, it's a fucking bot. You like click on the actual profile.
This
and
particular
bot with their tits hanging out.
Was saying the same thing in any thread that had the words Benjamin Cohen. It was the same sentence.
Just a script.
Yeah. So it was a very simplistic
one. They can't even program their bots effectively.
Well, this is a rapid response thing. This is a rapid response thing, right? Like they needed a rapid response to this fake news. But my thing was like, the funny thing was, people were then asking me, Mike, what do you think is going on with this? Like, and I was like, well, what's going on is this rumor was started. It looks like it came out of like the Arab sort of fake news ecosystem saying this guy's name was Benjamin Cohen. And people just hate kikes, so they went along with it. Like, that's the thing. What the Jews were saying, the Jews were complaining, like, everyone is going with this. And I was like, yeah, you're kind of right here. Like, everyone hates you, and they want you to be guilty of this awful crime, so they have yet another reason to hate you.
It works out, yeah.
And like, so I was like, let's just be honest. Like, you know, I don't like to say things that aren't true, because that's just me. Like, it doesn't really – I was gonna, you end up looking like a retard if you do it for too long. So, although maybe that's wrong. We might be utterly wrong about the idea that like telling the truth to the best of your knowledge as much as you can is the best policy. Like maybe just saying bullshit is the best policy. we might ultimately be getting owned by our own, like our own principle of like just trying not to lie and trying to get it right as often as we.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
We can.
Oh, that's definitely happening.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. We're fucking stupid.
No, we are, because we don't lie to people.
We're actually retarded that we never got on board with just lying to everybody. Anyway, no, but I was like, no, I don't think it's been.
That goes back to
trend.
That goes back to the fall of Trump. Like when the ultimate betrayal of the opening the government back up, no wall funding, and we were like, that's it, we're out. You're like, wait a minute, I thought you were lying to us. What the hell?
Well,
you're not gonna tell us everything's great and keep going on the orange guy, bro. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's also started. Why we got locked out of everything.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was the beginning of the end.
So,
like, what do you mean you're not gonna? You know, look at it now. That's what
I'll say though.
I'm waiting for that rug pull, man. Like, what is? I'm hoping that. I'm hoping that in 2016, the resuscitation of white nationalism that Donald Trump, with like Roger Stone, everybody engaged in to get him over the finish line for the. You know, they lost control of that. They tried to get control of it after Charlottesville, after. To the extent where they went really hard at the people that weren't even white nationalists with January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on now with like Twitter and just like the people that are allowed to speak and what they're allowed to say about what's going on lately, combined with the wars, I just hope that it's totally just out of their control and they can't actually rug pull because.
Yeah. Well, just like.
Shit's crazy.
The thing is, let's like look at the sort of narrative progress. So when we first started this, we were even a bit nervous about talking about Jews, like at the very, very beginning. Not
on
the blog,
right?
It
wasn't even that they were just, we were nervous about it. We, for not a long time, we had an evolving point of view, but we had the wrong idea, the wrong characterization of the struggle for a while about what Zionism was. There was
Remember the ones like, we should learn from Israel. Yeah, they have their own ethno state. Yeah. I want to be like this.
It's like, no.
That didn't take too
long.
They're
not an ethno state. It's something entirely different. It's like, it's not just like this is, like, people would get hung up on, like, why don't you like Israel?
People would get hung up on the principle matter, which is a conservative thing to do. Like, it's an ethno state. And I see people trying to pull this. I see, like, NRX people trying to pull this shit on Twitter.
Yeah, that's the solar.
Like,
no one
like Amy Therese was trying to do this. Like, own anti-Israel people being like, but they're an ethno state. Like, aren't you for ethno states?
That's a 2016.
I was like, no.
That's a 2016 own.
Catch up, you stupid fraud. Like, no, like, I'm not, why should I be for an enemy? Think how people used to think. Every state used to be an ethno state. Like, the ethno state of France and the ethno state of Britain still went to war with each other. Right. Oh, they're two ethno states, aren't they? No, you fucking moron. That's not, like, that, yeah. It's like, why do two, like, gay-ass fucking globalist states go to war? But anyway, but the thing is, like, being, like, anti-Semitic, pro-white, like, there was even some nervousness about that. Yeah, as you said, we had wrong views on it, and we eventually came to the right view. But, like, you know, it got to the point where, like, 2017, it was still, like, it's like, even like what Walt Bismarck was saying in his thing, right? Whatever you think about what he said, what he decided to do with his life, which I don't really care. But, like, the thing has shifted so much.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, I was even thinking this the other day, like, if, and it would probably depend on where it happened. But there are places in America where if Daryl Brooks did his thing today, like, he would get charged with a hate crime. I think that there are places where that would happen. And so talking about white people has actually been sort of normalized. Not totally, but significantly so. Now, the one thing is that they sort of do ghettoize it so that you see it everywhere on Twitter. But you don't really see it many other places. But nonetheless, there's a huge amount of people on the right, they're talking about white, sometimes in retarded ways, but they're still doing it. Yeah. And
I got into a slight Twitter spat with somebody over there. Did you see the thing with this Pajit woman was like threatening some kind of council over their failure to like condemn Israel or something like that? And she was like kind of making death threats or something.
No, based.
And she gets like slapped with all these felony charges. And some neo-lib was trying to say that, they're cracking down on the left-wing stuff, you know, because it got out of control. I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, she crossed the tripwire you're not supposed to cross and got in trouble. Like, how quickly you idiots forget that during the Summer of Love, left-wing anarchists literally annexed part of an American city and just fucking ran it for months.
Yeah. Like, and there was Jews involved in that. There was, like, Jews hanging out there. So, yeah, there was a...
It's like there's a tripwire. That's where the resources are actually devoted to. It's like, you know, patrolling the tripwire. There is no sea change in, like, American domestic policy regarding their policing actions.
There was a very funny bit. No, they're not cracking down on crime at all. Like, it's actually, they reached a new normal with crime enforcement, and they're just sticking to it.
Well, they're celebrating a reduction in the increase of violent crime recently.
Right. That's, they're also just, they're not keeping track.
when Steve Saylor takes a break from posting about how to make, you know, golf courses even nicer, he has some numbers he's posting about crime that are interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. When he stops posting about how Jews are also oppressed along with whites, like, yeah, that old gag.
He's not that bad.
He's literally said that. I don't know if he's still doing that. No, he legitimately said that Jews are hurting from DEI, that whites and Jews should team up because they're getting DEI.
I thought it was more the Rufo narrative.
Saylor did it. I don't know if he still does it because he got absolutely,
I'm sure,
like, that didn't go well for him.
Maybe that's why he talks about golf courses so much now.
Well, my thing is, like, if you don't want it, my thing is to him, like, generally I like what he does, so I would just say to him, like, if you don't want people to rag on you for saying that, just don't say it. Like, just leave it. Like, you don't have to. It's not true.
Well, what he's
it's
been
not
saying,
empirical.
He's been showing
no one likes it.
He's been showing crime numbers where there's a lot of people who are selling. It's the same thing, like, what I said with the that Boden for president post I saw a couple weeks ago about, like, the lowest inflation in 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're looking at, like, crime is down across the board. It's like, yeah, year over year. It's like, give me crime now compared to 2017, 2018, 2019. Yeah. What do you got? It's like the graph goes, like, I'll try to make my hands back. It goes whoopsie daisy, and then it drops a little bit.
Yep,
that's what's going on.
Now I'm like skeptical even of that drop, but that's fine. If that's true, I'll grant it.
I mean,
but
that's possibly how it's reported.
They're just like not fucking keeping
track.
That's possibly just
a drop and report.
Because there's other ways you can detect this.
They just don't arrest people. They just don't arrest people.
And shit doesn't get reported.
How does the grammar work there? They have the option of just not arresting people. What I'm saying.
But there's also the discrepancy between the crime victim survey and the uniform crime report has like widened
to
a crazy amount. And the crime victim survey is a pretty solid data gathering method where they just survey people like, have you been a victim of a crime? And if so, what type? And it's just like off the charts. Mm-hmm. Additionally, there was another thing I saw a few months ago where they're saying like more NYPD officers were injured on the job in 2023 than in like any previous year since like the 70s or something like that. So I'm like, all right, so they're having these fucking, even despite the lowering of the enforcement guidelines, they're still having dust up with niggers all the time. But the thing I wanted to say, the thing I was building to, is about like the sort of narrative progress that's been made. Now, again, I do think that changing perceptions, changing viewpoints leads to political change, but it's a much slower process than people think. Just like the process of Iran getting to the point from Israel being the totally dominant regional power to them now having this regional rival in Iran, that was a long process. It was a long process of them building up their capabilities, diplomatic efforts, Israel fucking up, like, you know, a long-term thing, and it resulted in this thing where Israel is now paralyzed because of Iranian military action, right? That's not something that happened overnight. It took 20 years. Similarly, like Israel, part of the reason they're paralyzed is American public opinion. But in terms of the narrative on the right, like pro-white stuff is pretty normal now. Even like, remember when we used to say like there's one thing the Republicans will never say, it's white. Well, that's not true anymore. They do say it sometimes. But I think the point you were saying is like after this issue with the anti-Semitism on Twitter, even if they do a rug pull crackdown, which they're going to do, okay, most likely after the election, no matter what.
I think they've lost control of
the anti-Semitism and anti-Israel stuff. It stays. Like, they're not going to make anybody turn around and like Israel. And they can't, because too many people, like, it's just, yeah.
We have follow-up here according to Axios. Israel defense minister to Pentagon, no choice but to retaliate.
Yeah.
The pull quote was like, Israel won't accept an equation in which Iran responds with a direct attack every time Israel strikes targets in Syria.
Yeah. From their perspective.
They're basically saying like, we're allowed to strike Syria, which is like, what a fucking statement.
No, their view is actually their view. We get to hit Syria.
This is why they have words like chutzpah in their right. disgusting like guttural language. It's like they get to...
Well, remember...
They have this entitlement. Like, we get to missile strike and we get to run sorties over our neighbors whenever we want
They don't accept an equation where
Syria
they get
to be deterred. Syria has land that we want. We're expanding into that country. They have it. We started an entire civil war there, tried to overthrow it so we could make it a little easier.
Yeah.
He fought back and he keeps winning, so we have no choice. And you can't just be like, Iran just can't be like striking us to make us
There's
stop.
Another
no,
element to
works.
This. There's another element to this. What they're really disrupting in Syria, what they're really doing in Syria, and the reason why the Jews claim they must have the right to strike Syria anytime, at all times, which is something that is accepted by America, and it's generally accepted, and it sort of was default accepted by the sort of status quo in the region, because nobody could really do anything about it for a very long time. And even Russia lived with it. Even Russia lived with it, and they would have this thing where Israel and Russia would communicate to make sure Israel didn't hit Russian assets when they were going after Syria stuff. What they're doing, and another reason they're mad at Russia for stepping in just to maintain the continuity of the Assad government by teaming up with the Iranians and Syrians to keep Assad in power for their own strategic interests. The reason they're mad and why they created this whole war on Russia's border is because ultimately what's happening is Iran facilitates ships weapons to Hezbollah. So there is a massive weapons barrage on Israel's northern border that can rain down into Israel. And the reason they want to maintain the right to hit Syria at any time is they want to disrupt that supply chain. They can't really do it. They've never really done it. But that's also why they killed those people in the embassy. It had nothing to do with them saying, oh, they're planning. The thing they got people like Brianna Wu and others to say is like, those people in there were part of October 7th. That's not true. But what they are part of is maintaining that military convoy of supplies from Iran to Lebanon going through Syria, which is why the Jews want to keep Syria in a state of civil war, why they want to keep it destabilized, and why they want to be able to bomb it and so-called like hit targets in it at any time, is they want to stop the shipments of weapons from Iran to Lebanon. They can't do that, but that's what they're really afraid of. And really, a lot of geopolitical stuff in the whole world, it revolves around the ability of the Jews to stop the arming of Hezbollah. Like, you could draw a line from that to the Ukraine war, and I have. I've done it before. But, and it's not, I'm not making that up. That's legitimately at least one of the concerns there, is that the Russians are acting in such a way to maintain this Iranian supply chain to Lebanon. And so that's why they want to, that's what they're saying right there when they say that. They're like, nah, like, we can't let Iran ship missiles to Lebanon without trying to interdict that or kill the people involved in doing it. And us, like, yeah, we'll hit embassies, we'll hit anything, and we won't accept that we have to just stand down when the Iranians hit us. So it makes sense from their perspective. They're going to do something. And, yeah, they broke the deal. I had kind of a feeling, because I knew, now, when the Financial Times came out that article and when the rest of the media reported all this, I was like, this has happened. This conversation went on, whatever the parameters of it were, this conversation went on, where the smart thing was to let Iran do this and to de-escalate afterwards, because they don't want a direct confrontation with Iran. But I was even saying, like, I'm hesitant to believe that the Jews will ever abide their side of it, that they'll ever stick to their side of it.
There was another report in there that I just don't believe, that Netanyahu is asking the military to propose targets that would send a message without high, like, casualties. I'm like, bullshit. Since when does Israelis go to not do, like, atrocities?
Well,
it could be to do that with Iran is too dangerous for them.
I'm going to actually say that that's not entirely incredible. I think that's entirely credible.
It's incredible that if they're fucking cowed to that place. Like, Israel, Jews, your style is just fucking...
I know, their style
absolute
is...
Absolute wanton destruction. And then accuse the other side of being, like, genocidal maniacs.
Which
as
is
you slaughter children. Like,
kind
you're
of
not,
point.
You're not going to bomb, like, any, like hospitals in Tehran or like children's playgrounds while they're there. Like, what's the deal, Israel?
Like,
what's the problem?
It's sort of
what are we cucking about here for?
Well, sort of, as you radiate out from the center of Israel, like, their ability to just do slaughters of civilians gets less and less. So Gaza, well, it's like, whatever.
Not according to their rhetoric.
No,
the way,
no,
not,
no,
not
I know
how they
I
talk
know,
a big game. You talk a big game, Israel.
I'm talking about
what's the matter?
In terms of reality, though. But I also, this is actually what I was trying to get to at the very beginning of the hour. This is the one thing about this whole setup that outrages me. And it's based purely, it's a calculation based on force and violence and the ability to inflict it and the ability of people to be scared. And this is the status quo that America, our country, enforces.
Right.
And that is that there is sort of like an accepted range in which Israel's allowed to do slaughters. There's an accepted area where they're allowed to kill people. It's like Gaza to the most extent, to a lesser extent Lebanon, to a lesser extent Syria, and then from there, like, less and less, right? So, yeah, a slaughter in Iran would be a big deal. Slaughters in Syria are eh. Slaughters in Lebanon, pretty meh. And slaughters in Gaza, like, all the time, right? So it's just like, you know, why is this accept? Why do we accept this? Why do we enforce this idea? So even if we do say, like, yeah, no, wow, slaughters of Iranians is, like, off the table, it's like, why is any of it on the table for these fucking kikes? You know, it's like they have a sphere of acceptable massacres, you know, and it's just the equation being that, like, oh, Israel's allowed to bomb Syria within certain parameters all the time. Why are they allowed to do it at all? Israel's allowed to bomb Lebanon as long as it's within, like, kind of slightly more wide parameters, and Israel's allowed to do whatever the fuck they want in Gaza. And, like, we enforce that with, like, fucking aircraft carriers, Aegis missiles. Like, you know, all this shit we just send there to make sure that that status stays the same. We actually legally require Israel in our laws. We've talked about this before. We have a law in America that requires us to make sure Israel has military superiority over all countries in the region. That would include Iran. So that's a law. That is a law in America. I forget what the law is called. I can look it up during the break. But anyway, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. We've talked about this before. So,
all right. Let's go for a moment. I have to fucking... I'm all messed up, bros. You may not be able to tell, but I'm really struggling over here.
I can tell.
You can tell. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.